Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Well, today is part two in our series entitled The Light of Christmas, and I wanted to begin by talking about caves. Who here has ever explored or toured a cave? Put your hand up. Okay, so we have quite a few people who have explored and toured a cave. My wife and I have been to the Jenolan Caves in the Blue Mountains and also the caves of Phi Phi Island in Thailand. But it was exploring the Jenolan Caves that really personally impacted me as I had this encounter of the power of darkness and the power of light. And during the tour, our guide asked if he wanted to see what a real cave looked like. So here we are, we're in the heart of the cave now, and he stops us at a particular point, I think it was about a halfway point, and he said, who here would like to see what a real cave looks like? So thinking that we were already seeing what a real cave looked like, we kind of all agreed to see one, but with some suspicious reservations. And so our guide shut down all of the lights, and so the next photo on the screen shows us exactly what a real cave looks like. Let's take a look right now. So that is what a real cave looks like. And for those listening to this podcast, we are currently looking at a totally black screen, and all the lights are out. That was good, team. I like that. Let's give our team a great big hand. Yeah. Come on, let's give them a bigger hand than that. Go crazy right now. Well done, team. We didn't even talk about that before service. That's how good our team are. They're just ready to pounce at any moment. And so when this took place, like this was just a really scary experience because I couldn't see my own hand in front of my face. This darkness was so thick. And can you imagine with me for a moment what it would be like to walk around this cave without any lights? I mean, like in a cave, there are, let me just try and recall how this goes. In a cave, there are stalactites and stalagmites. And stalactites are the columns that form from the roof of the cave. And then there are stalagmites, which are columns that grow from the floor of the cave. So can you imagine walking around a cave in total dark where you can't see your hand in front of your face, running the risk of either bumping your head with a stalactite or bumping into a stalagmite, or, you know, when there's also ascents and descents and potholes, like it would just be a scary ride. Yes, it would be a scary ride. And so it is. So it is as we walk around this life without the light of Christ, Jesus Christ, in our lives. You know, when the lights went out, as soon as the darkness fell, people reacted immediately with like a gasp, like, even those who didn't respond immediately soon politely requested that the lights be turned back on. One thing is for sure, it was apparent that the people in this particular cave became increasingly uncomfortable and insecure. But the darkness is more than uncomfortable. The darkness creates confusion, disorientation, fear, and it also does very strange things to our psychology and our biology. And this was proven when two cave explorers by the names of Josie Laws and Antonio Nseni committed themselves to an experiment which began on the same day. In the name of science, they chose to live alone in a dark, desolate cave to test the effects of isolation, loneliness, and darkness. Loris spent 88 days in a dark cave, while Senai was in another part of the cave for 126 days. Can you imagine for a moment what it would be like to live in total darkness? Not knowing where what was, and I don't know about you, but even sometimes now, if I have to get up in the middle of the night for some reason, sometimes I'm kind of walking around like this, because sometimes I'm not sure if there's just something there, and we do everything that we can to protect ourselves. And so Laura's came out on March 12, 1965, but she was sure that the date was February 25. Senai's sense of time was even more distorted. Just a few days before emerging on April 5, he believed that it was February 4. Researchers also reported that Senai would sleep for 30 hours at a time, but would wake up believing that he had just taken a quick nap. And without life-giving light, many of our senses and rhythms go to sleep or become very distorted. In this experiment, their psychology got so messed up that one began to imagine that they were driving around the cave in a tiny car. The other began to imagine that they were flying around in a fighter plane combating mosquitoes. And at one time, they both braced themselves as they totally believed that the whole cave was about to take flight, as they had lost all perception of what was up and what was down because they were living in total darkness. But the prophet Isaiah, a foreteller of Jesus Christ, prophesied back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2, where we read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." What did the people see? They saw a great light. "And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Praise God. So, three reasons why Jesus Christ is the great light as we dive into part two of our series, The Light of Christmas. At the end of my message, I'm going to give someone the opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Followed by this, we're going to be blessed with a song by our Gateway Kids ministry. And followed by that, we have our African choir who are going to lead us in a time of worship and a time of praise. And I just want, give him a great big hand right now. Three reasons why Jesus is the great light. Number one, Jesus is the eternal light. Now, I don't know where everyone's faith and religious, if you like, education is. I think that everyone is on a journey, and we thank God that Christ, who began the good work in us, will be faithful to complete that work till the day of his return. So I'm not sure if you're aware, but there will come a day when the sun will cease to shine and the sun, the natural sun, will be no more. But Jesus is the eternal source of all light. There will come a day when heaven and earth will pass away. The solar system, everything that causes the earth to flourish and to be what it is, heaven and earth, all of it is going to pass away. And a new earth will come and a new heaven. But then we read later on in verse 23, and it says, "And the city," it's talking about the new heaven, it's talking about the new earth, "and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did illuminate it, and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light thereof." Somebody here needs to hear, number one, Jesus is the eternal light. Number two, Jesus is the life-giving light. You know, light and life are divinely connected. Life and light are divinely connected. So much so that life would not exist without light. And we read about this early in the book of Genesis chapter 1, because God created life. Let me say it again. God created life out of what was formless, empty, and what was covered in darkness. When God said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, "Let there be light." And I believe that it's possible today that there are some people here and there is a sense of emptiness. There's a void in your heart. Perhaps there is something of a cloud of darkness that is overshadowing parts of your thinking, parts of your mind. The good news is, as we read Genesis chapter 1, we can see that God created life out of what was void, formless, and darkness. And so there is hope for all of us here today. And so when God commanded, "Let there be light," it was only then, as we read in the same chapter, that the seas were filled with abundant creatures. Birds flew in the heavens. The earth began to bud and bloom. And all manner of life was created because of the light. Your life is found in the light of Christ. Now, Jesus, he is the life-giving light. And when we take a look at the four Gospels, the first, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see in chapter one of the four Gospels, four very different accounts. I don't know if you've taken a look at it, but when we look at chapter one of Matthew, it is mostly about the genealogy, the timeline of Jesus, which kind of figures when you look at the author Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector, he was a publican, he was used to, you know, filling out all different kinds of ledgers, and perhaps profit and loss sheets and other, you know, documents and whatever else. So it's kind of no surprise that Matthew, this publican, gets into this very long, you know, list of names when it comes to the timeline of Jesus. But then we go to Mark chapter 1, which begins with John the Baptist, a forerunner, as he prepares the way of the Lord. And as we continue to read, if you're somebody here who's never been baptized in water or baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can take a good look at the end of Mark chapter 1, because it talks about the water baptism of Jesus and the baptism in the Holy Spirit when he spoke in tongues. And then, of course, there's Luke's account, Luke chapter 1. And with Luke being a physician, a doctor, we have this very eloquent writing about the angel's visitation of Mary. But for me personally, it's John's gospel. And I don't know if you know, but John is considered the oldest apostle out of the four. And John, for me, gets to the heart of the matter so quickly of who it is that Jesus is. And I'm not sure it's because, you know, he's old and perhaps he doesn't think that he has a lot of time left, but he gets to the heart of the matter, especially when it comes to Jesus being the life-giving light. When he writes in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, "In him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men." What is that life? It's the light of men. "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not overcome it." That's good news for all of us here today, church. I said, that's good news. I said, that's good news for all of us here today. Do you understand? The light is not overcome by the darkness. The light overcomes the darkness. Number three, Jesus is the guiding light. And this is where we're going to get down to what I would consider the business end of my message today. You know, just as a lighthouse guides ships safely into harbor and around dangerous coastlines, so God's word lights up our path. So God's word illuminates and lights up our path. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I want to say to someone here today, as I begin to wrap up my message today, I want to say to someone, if you're seeking guidance over this Christmas, or if you're seeking wisdom and understanding and knowledge for 2019, then I just want to simply encourage you, why don't you actually start by picking up God's word? Pick up God's word. Because one of the reasons why we find ourselves in certain circumstances, one of the reasons why we find ourselves the tail and not the head, beneath and not above, because we are actually not even picking up God's word. You know, so many people want God's word to be a lamp unto their feet And sometimes they're opening the Word of God. They don't know where to turn. They're opening the Word of God. And it's like, I don't know. It's almost like I don't understand this. It's almost like this is not lighting up my path. I still feel like I'm in darkness. And I just want to say that there's a reason for that. And it has nothing to do with God's Word, but everything to do with you. Because perhaps you are reading God's Word, but you are disobedient to the Word of God. Because you see, you can't just open up the Word and read it. You've got to actually obey it. You've got to listen to it. And we must repent of our sins. We must repent of wrong attitudes as the Holy Spirit leads us, convicts us, and motivates us to do so. And that is a great gift. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, of shame, or whatever else might be going on in any one of our lives, I tell you what, that is a great blessing. King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, he said, "Let a righteous man slap me across the face to wake me up, and I will count it as precious oil." I will count it. Such was the heart of David, because sometimes we need a spiritual slap up the side of the head to wake us up. I want to ask you, are you asleep in the presence of God today? Because one thing I know is this, it's very difficult to sleep when the lights are on. If you're asleep, it's because you are already in the darkness. So I want to encourage someone. If you want more wisdom, more guidance, more understanding, pick up the Word of God and actually begin to read it. And we're trying to help everyone here at Gateway, which is why God gave me the strategy around Gateway Word of the Week. It's not just a good idea, you know. It's a God idea. It's a God strategy. It will help you to approach God's Word with an expectation to hear from Him and a structure. And it's posted every Monday morning, Gateway Word of the Week, on our Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter. And I recommend that you take a real good look at it. And I recommend that you position yourself where there's no distractions and you actually begin to read God's Word and be a Christian, be a follower of Jesus, read it, obey it, and repent where you need to. You know, the light makes our way clear and visible so that we don't trip and fall. Sometimes, as a pastor, as a leader, I have had people say to me, "Why did God allow that to happen in my marriage? Why did God allow that to happen in my life? Why didn't God stop me?" And my response is, "Why didn't you obey?" Everyone wants God's Word to be a lamp unto their feet. But there are certain things that we need to do. Before I have a look at those, the Living Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your words are a flashlight to light up the path ahead of me, and they keep me from stumbling." You know, if you were stuck in a cave, let's just go to that slide again when it comes to what a real cave looks like. Let's take a look at the next slide when it comes to what this cave looks like with all the lights on. Let's go to the previous slide. Let's go to the next slide. As you can see, there are stalactites and stalagmites. There's even a great chasm there. But His Word is a light unto my feet. And when the light is on, the light says, "Go this way." When the light is on, it says, "Don't go that way." And I want to, as I begin to close now, I want to read some verses in Psalm 119, which precede verse 105. And David said, "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word." I'm putting it out here today on behalf of heaven, on behalf of lost souls. Read the Word of God and obey it, no matter what the price, no matter what the cost. 102, "I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path." And it's only then can David say, "Lord, your words are a flashlight to the path ahead of me. They keep me from stumbling." I want you to understand this. God wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. He doesn't want you to fall. But in order for us to succeed, We must read the word, obey it, and repent and be led by it as the Holy Spirit leads us.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.